The feature is titled Tongues, Yesterday, Today and Forever. Tongues, Yesterday, Today and Forever.
Hallelujah.
Amen. A teaching that reinforces the reason and then tells us the importance of speaking in tongues.
Hallelujah.
You know, many times we sometimes think it's good in knowledge to lay aside some basics. I say some people think, oh, I've gone past that. Some people rejoicing. They say, no, I used to rejoice when I was younger. Hallelujah. I told us events and during last concluded Believers Convention, I spent my time listening to most times I am lost for words. I have to call him Papa Higgins, Bro Higgins. Yeah. Because even his son, Higgins Jr., is a Papa. Yeah. But if I can listen to Bro Higgins again, then as I would do, whenever we have Believers Convention, I listen to Bro Higgins and Pastor Sheku often. Amen. Especially around Holy Ghost meetings and having, you know, Holy Ghost meetings and things like that. So I was listening to him, one of his teachings around 98, yeah, camp meeting 98. Bro Higgins was already, he was already above 80 years. Hallelujah. Was already above 80. And seeing a man above 80 rejoice, you should know that there is nothing like that about growing. The things of the spirit you don't outgrow yet. Hope you're hearing me. You don't outgrow the things of the spirit. There are things you don't outgrow. Like the things of the spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're not going for some strength. So you always put that check. Check out your life. You don't outgrow spiritual things. And speaking in tongues is a spiritual activity. The same way to evangelism is a spiritual activity. Hallelujah. Amen. So you don't outgrow those things. Hallelujah. Amen. So let's see. So we're looking at tongues yesterday, today and forever. You know, I said to Ross sometime years back, I had a conversation with a good friend of mine. A good friend of mine, and he was telling me, you know, I no longer speak with tongues. And I was surprised. I said, why? You're going above it. No. Hallelujah. I said, you don't go above it. Hallelujah. So like Father Shebu would say, many times because of improper teaching. Hallelujah. Improper teaching. And that is why I'm going to painstakingly, as I always do other teachings, teach us again. Hallelujah. So that we don't get to that point where we say it was when I was younger. Hallelujah. Okay, yesterday. Amen. It was the same person that would tell people who just are speaking in tongues years back that Satan will come to tell you in your heart. You remember those words? That you are saying nonsense. So from him I heard it first. That is not nonsense. He's saying, that same person is not the one saying it's like that. Amen. And many times too, it's as a result of something that we heard while speaking in tongues. I remember having this conversation with someone last year, and the person was telling me she now speaks in tongues, that when she speaks in tongues, okay, I said on her tattoo. So she said, when you speak in tongues, that Satan is confused. And I said, no. Never bring in Satan. Hallelujah. So, now put, we speak in tongues, Satan is confused. I said, don't bring Satan into it. He said, no, man, you know your doctrine is even for my doctrine. I said, no, the doctrine of God's word is the same. Hallelujah. Why was The first thing you that comes to your mind when you speak in tongues is Satan. Amen. The apostle never spoke about that. Jesus never told you that. It's not in scripture. So why would you bring Satan in? Okay, are you trying to say Satan knows about it? But I would never say that too. Hallelujah. So why must you bring Satan into the whole conversation? Hallelujah. Don't bring him in at all. Satan is confused, it's not in scriptures when you speak in tongues. Amen. Everybody just tells you to speak with tongues. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. This is very vital. And it's always good we know that difference. It's always very vital we know that difference. We speak in tongues, Satan is confused. My younger sister turned it to, we speak in tongues, Sate. She just opened it. But don't bring it in. Amen. Amen. Scriptures never told you that. And many times, because of knowledge, where the pastor is called upon to pray and he's speaking in tongues, and the demon is saying, say what I can hear. But you don't know. Whether Satan is confused or not, there's no good reason for speaking in tongues. Okay, hear me. Automatically, something I'm going to show you today becomes something fundamental will be missing. Usually in your worship of God. Okay, follow me. Glory to God. Matthew 28. Let's do something good. Let's open our teaching the way we always do. Matthew 28. Or verse 18. And he came and spoke to them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in the earth. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Mark 16, from verse 15. And he said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And this time shall follow them that believe in my name, to cast out devils, to speak with new tongues. Watch that. Mark that. That will come alive in our teaching, new tongues. You know, wherever we stop in this series, we'll take it up in general. Hallelujah. Just something to teach you along that line. Hallelujah. So, it says new tongues. Mark that in your scriptures, new tongues. He says, they will take off serpents, and if they shall drink any deadly thing, they shall not hurt them. So they will lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was revealed unto heaven and sat at the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere, with the Lord walking with them, and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at Luke 24. Verses 45. Amen. Verse 45. And opened he their understanding, that they might comprehend the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it behooves Christ to suffer, and to rise on the dead the third day. Watch that. He now gives them that instruction. He says, and the repentance and remission of sins be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Hope you can say that. Hallelujah. Amen. John 20:22. Listen to this. He says, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. So whosoever sins ye remit are remitted, and whosoever ye retain are retained. Hallelujah. So very vital. We'll get to see all this shortly. Very vital. We say this will be the closing remarks, right? Of Jesus' instruction within the 40 days. Jesus' instruction within the 40 days. And we said those instructions will be instructions from the scriptures. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Because he read from the scriptures. He read from the scriptures. So there will be instructions from the 40 days. Instructions from the Genesis. Hallelujah. Okay, so from Genesis, when they go make disciples, they are all the same. Make disciples, preach the gospel, repent and remission of sins, preach in his name, whosoever sins in remission and remission. They're all the same, but written in different forms, right? Like captured in different forms, but the same instructions. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it's very vital. Now we find the same thing with the writers of the synoptics. When they were writing about Isaiah, when they were writing about the incarnation of Jesus, they were not telling fairy tales. They were not telling stories. No. They didn't write about the incarnation as stories. No. They wrote about the incarnation as scriptures fulfilled. So they were reading the scriptures in the life of Jesus. This is that in the event of the incarnation. They read the scriptures in the event of the incarnation. Okay, follow you. I will see that. For example, look at Matthew chapter 1. Let's see Matthew. Matthew 1:1. Matthew opens up with the book of the generations. He called it the Genesis of Jesus Christ, the Son of David, the Son of Abraham. Hallelujah. He opens up with his incarnation, put it his humanity. Hallelujah. He opens up with his humanity. And he writes this humanity as scripture fulfilled from the Genesis. So he uses the word the book of the Genesis. Hallelujah. That's the word genealogy. The word that is the Greek word Genesis. Genesis. The same word for Genesis. Amen. So he writes for you to say that the incarnation will be what? Scripture fulfilled. Hallelujah. He writes that evidently for you to see. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he tells us that he writes the story of Jesus as the Genesis story. He reads the Genesis story into the story of Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay, follow me. So he called it the Genesis of Jesus Christ. He said the Son of David. But when he called Genesis, David is not in Genesis. You're the one who is missing it there. Hallelujah. First of all, it gives you a background to Genesis, like I said to us, that Genesis is a book of sonship. Hallelujah. Amen. He said the Son of David, the Son of who? Abraham. Hallelujah. Amen. Something we are going to say. Hallelujah. Not the same. Not the same though. Now, in Matthew 28:20, he said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever have commanded you, say, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, he makes you see his divinity. Hallelujah. He said, lo, I am with you always. I am his divinity. He used the word ego emma to show you his divinity. That Jesus is the God of the Old Testament book. So when he used the word, I am with you always. You have to go back and reread that in Exodus. This is that in Exodus chapter 3. I am. Hallelujah. I am. So you have to read it again. The I am of the scripture. He is the I am. So he shows you his both his humanity and his divinity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For Mark. In Mark 1. Look at how Mark opens up. Mark uses another shade of words for Genesis. It used the beginning, arche, the beginning. And many times when the word arche, I've taught you this years back, and I'm still telling you again today. So many times the word arche is used in scripture, beginning is used in the New Testament and in the synoptic and in the epistles, is referring many times to the Genesis. Hallelujah. Many times. So when you use the word the Genesis, so when you go back to the Genesis, what would you see? Is it a right way to see that he's writing the story of Jesus from the Genesis? And look at what he says. He reads verses 2, Malachi, into verse 3 and 9. That's very, 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 very important for you to see, not to miss it. Why? Why? Making you see that you shouldn't be detached from the Old Testament book. You shouldn't be detached. So he reads them together. Don't be detached. He's giving you an intro into what he's doing. That as you read this writing, you shouldn't be detached from the Old Testament books. You see that? You shouldn't at all be detached. Hallelujah. It's very vital. Hallelujah. So it's a carpet. Don't get detached. Not just Mark writes. It's not just Mark that wrote this way. Every other writer of the synoptics. They don't want you to be detached from the past 9 books. Hallelujah. It's very vital. They don't want you to be detached from it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Right in Mark 16, he makes you see his divinity. Mark 16. He says, teaching them to observe. I'm sorry, verses. Mark 16, 20. He says, when... look at Mark 16, 20. And they went forth and preached everywhere. So with the Lord walking with them. The Lord walking with them, that is, not the Lord with them physically, but in incarnation, but in the resurrection. So he used that word for Jesus, Kurios, the Lord. Hallelujah. Kurios, the Lord. The same word used as Adonai for God in the Old Testament, making you see that he is the Lord also. Hallelujah. This is that making you see that Jesus is Lord of the Old Testament book. Called him Kurios, Adonai. Hallelujah. So the Lord walking with them. Walking with them will be an Exodus language. Walking with them. Hallelujah. It's an Exodus language. God was with them. Hallelujah. Making you see that, the divinity of Jesus. He is the God of Israel. The God of the Old Testament. The God that we see here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then we get to Luke. Look at Luke. Luke opens up. Looks different from others. Hallelujah. But he gives you a hint in verse 2. He says, verses 1. He says, for as much as men have taken in him to set in declaration those things which are most assuredly believed amongst us. Is that? Amen. You know, I've heard someone read this verse 1 distortedly. Just read everything there. Amen. Yeah, we were writing their own thing. It actually said, what if we live together? Hallelujah. Verse 2 says, even as they deliver them unto us. So he's telling you that he's a third party. He introduces himself as a third party. Not a direct eyewitness, but his accounts were gotten from the eyewitness. Is that? Hallelujah. So he got his account gotten from the eyewitness. Is that? Hallelujah. We are eyewitness and ministers of the word. They are not just eyewitness. That is, they are not just storytellers. They didn't hear it from anybody on the street. But they are also ministers. Did you see that? Eyewitness and ministers. Verse 3. Hope you are following me. It's very vital. So he tells you the source of his writing. Eyewitness and ministers of the word. And he called them eyewitness from the beginning. From the beginning. Taking you again to the Genesis. Did you see that?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen. So what the eyewitness of the scripture fulfilled. That's why I call them eyewitness and ministers of the word. Hope you are going to hear this. Glory to God. Ministers of the word. What is the word? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, or Genesis down to Malachi. Hope you are going to hear this. Glory to God. Okay. Also too, he shows his audience in verse 3. Who is his audience? Theophilus, a Gentile audience. Yet, though his audience was an audience of one, being a Gentile, yet, he still lets him know and let us know where his source is from. The scriptures, the Hebrew text. Hallelujah. It was declared. He didn't change the source. Hallelujah. The source is still from the Hebrew text. Luke 24:44. These are the words that I spoke to you. I was still with you that all these people who were in the Lord, they were listening to the prophet and any Psalms concerning me. The same Hebrew text. Hope you are following. So, the same Hebrew text. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, that means the scriptures, listen here, the scriptures is suitable for any kind of cult, any kind of man. Hope you are following. It's suitable. You don't try to make the scripture suit it. No, the scripture is suitable. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Amen. John 1. Hope you are with me. Okay, follow me up. In John 1, he opens up with the same beginning used by Luke, used by Mark. This is that beginning arcade. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Hallelujah. Unlike also Luke and Matthew and Mark, John doesn't give the humanity of Jesus. He didn't, humanity. Okay, let me take back that. John didn't give us a background to He speaks nothing about the birth of Jesus. He says nothing about it. He didn't give you that. Hallelujah. He opens up with his divinity. He calls him the Word that is God. Did you see that? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and God is the Word. Did you see that? So he shows you from the beginning of his writer, that one, he opens up with the 39 books. In the beginning was the Word. This is that Genesis. Your mind goes again to Genesis. Don't get detached. Don't get detached from what I want to write about. Right? So he spends little amount of time talking about his childbirth and how he was born. No, he spends little amount of time. If I said nothing about this, hallelujah, he goes straight into the business of the day. Hallelujah. And in verse 14, he now says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. His divinity. Hallelujah. His divinity. He dwelt and dwelt among us.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. That the God of the Old Testament book became a man. The God of Israel is now a man. You know, that upsets people, even to today. Hope you know that. You guys don't know. You know, set people to today. You know, people are relaxed, more comfortable with the Roman kind, with the Roman kind of Bible explanation. Where Bible they call it the Roman kind. The Trinity, we accept the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And then God the Son is not actually the God. Did you see that? Yeah. People try to accept it. It's a subtle unbelief. It's not actually the God of the scripture. It's just that God didn't have anybody to send. So when God was quiet and heaven was quiet, God said, who will I send? And Jesus now showed up. God didn't send me, send me. Some people say, how that? The Lord is sending Jesus. Is the God of the Old Testament. He's upsetting. Yeah, but that's the truth. Okay, you're away. People don't like to hear. They say, no, he's a prophet. He's more than a prophet. Yes, he's a prophet. Hallelujah. In the incarnation. But he is God. Do you see that? Hallelujah. Okay, he's God. And all the writers of the synoptic, all the writers of the synoptic and all writers of the epistles and all the apostles, not all the apostles that wrote the epistles, and all the apostles were strong on that. They were very strong on it. At no point did they try to sway it. Hallelujah. Do they even portray him as the Father? No. Those are not the same. But he is the God of the Old Testament. Amen. Take that away. And you don't have faith in it. Hey, I spoke with someone who is actually, someone who is actually Pentecostal recently. And he told me, the way I was talking, not even my friend. That was last year. Recently. The same thing that my friend said. Yes, last year or thereabout when I posted it, that Jesus is God. And he said, no, Jesus is not God. I am surprised. What are you believing in? Hallelujah. Thank you, sir. Yeah, everyone was talking about it. So I said, Jesus is God. He said, yeah, Jesus is God. But Jesus is not the God. I don't understand. I said, no. Jesus is just a kind of God. And they have several gods. So Jesus is just one of the gods. Can we now say Jesus is like Shango? Jesus is Shango. He's not a Shango. That's what you're saying. Actually, you can't place it anyway. Jesus is the God of Old Testament. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't try to put it anyhow. No, he is God. No, he is God. Hallelujah. He's God. He was there in the creation. He was there in the creation. Every other gods were created. He was there in the creation. Hallelujah. Amen. When I say every other gods, I'm talking about every other supernatural being. Hallelujah. We have the angels. We all created. And he was there in the creation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, don't worry, it's not what we're dealing with today. We're looking at Paul.
Amen. In John 20:23,
we read, he says, whosoever sins ye remit are remitted. He said, and whosoever ye retain are retained. So we said, in the preaching of the gospel, we will find him in his responsibility. Hallelujah. He will be the one carrying out his responsibility in all of the earth. He's still working. So that is also divine. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
He's now in everywhere with everyone.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Making you see that Christ will carry out his ministry through the believer. So therefore, a serious Bible student or a serious student of scripture must not be detached. He must read the Old Testament and the New Testament as one piece. As one piece. I like to see what Pastor Shepard said a while ago. He said, a major damage they've done to us is to make us see the Bible in as two segments, Old Testament and New Testament. That is a major damage. Old Testament and New Testament. So that by having Old Testament, New Testament, Old Testament and passage is one piece. Hope you're following me. Amen. When you get to Malachi, you don't have that Malachi is Matthew, not Malachi now New Testament. No. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. The Bible didn't give that distinction. Some of that, the New Testament is Matthew. Someone asked, where did Jesus function? I said, Jesus functioned in the Old Testament. Someone said, no, functioned in the New Testament. One of them said, Jesus functioned in the Old Testament. And I said, the Testament is not invoked until the testator dies. So what are you guys going to say? Go back and read what the writer of Hebrews was writing again. Hallelujah. The Jesus is the testator, so he has to die for New Testament to be invoked. So where is the New Testament? The New Testament started from Acts. Why are you doing that to yourself? Leave all those nonsense. Hallelujah. Don't do all those nonsense to yourself. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So where is it that the Genesis to Malachi is Old Testament in Scripture? Where is it? Do you see that? It's nowhere there. In fact, when even within the Old Testament books, the writer of those of Jeremiah spoke about Old Testament. And he wasn't referring to books. You see that? Wasn't referring to books. So why would we today now call Old Testament Genesis to Malachi? It's a major damage. And you know what that has done? That affected our study of scriptures. One way or the other. I'm telling you the truth. That affected how we comprehend scriptures.
It's looking as if I'm already in GPL route.
Anyway. But that's just it. It affects our comprehension of scripture, even our understanding of mind. Well, we just have to leave this for Old Testament, this for New Testament. No, we must do them as one piece. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In fact, when the writer of the synoptics, or when the apostles, or in the book of Acts, were to teach the scriptures, you will see that they read the Old Testament books and the four Gospels in one piece.
Amen.
So they read the Old Testament and the four Gospels in one piece. They were teaching about Jesus. But they read them in one piece. Take note, the four Gospels there were not Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. Hallelujah. Amen. Family is not called four Gospels. When God is four Gospels, it is four different Gospels. It's actually the synoptics. Hallelujah. Amen. So, they didn't read it. So when they were teaching about the Christ, they were not reading the Old Testament books separate and saying, no, Jesus' story is this. No, they read the Old Testament book and the four Gospels. Now, the four Gospels are not Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Why am I still calling the four Gospels? The synoptics, right? But not Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Hallelujah. What are we following? And at that point, because Matthew, Mark, Luke and John were not written But what did they have it as? They had it as oral teaching. It was in their teaching.
Hallelujah. Though it was not written. Hope you are following.
Hallelujah. Get to Acts of Apostles, chapter 2. Chapter 3. Let's get to Acts. Let me show you this.
You find it there. Acts 2.
Are you there? We're here during convention. Look at verse 22. He says, "You," he said, "ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of Jesus amongst you by miracles and wonders and signs." Is this anywhere in John? I mean, in signs, okay? Is this the synoptic? Is this the synoptic? Is it the synoptic? But was he reading anywhere in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John? No, not exactly. But would this account like this be found somewhere within Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John?
Yes. Hallelujah. Okay, following. Hallelujah. Okay, following that. Yes. We found out around the book, but at that point when it was said, it was not there.
I mean, it was not written. But they had it in oral form, right? Now, what were they doing? Look at what it has. It says, "Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, he hath taken by wicked and have crucified and slain." Is it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that he slayed him? Right? Okay. "Whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death." Is that the focus? I mean, is that the synoptic account? Okay. Now, verse 25. "For David speaketh concerning him." Is that the 39 books? Is it that? Did you see that? How they read his life and the 39 books together. Did you see that? They read his life and the 39 books together. No detaching. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at chapter 3. Jesus is, they were done with a miracle. Right? Hallelujah. Look at from verses 11. "And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, and the people ran towards unto them, and in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Then Peter saw it and answered unto them, Ye men of Israel, what man fell at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man walk? Say the God of Abraham." What this? That's 9 books? "God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob and of our fathers has glorified his son, Jesus." Did you see that? "Whom he had delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go." Did you see that? Is that within the synoptic? Right? So watch what he does. He says, "But they denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. He said, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised up from the dead, whereof we are witnesses." Did you see that? He said, "And his name, true faith in his name, had made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him had given him the perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Now he said, "And now, brethren, I wot that though ignorance ye did it, as did also your fathers." Now the old King James put ruler, your fathers. Did you see that? Did also your who? Fathers. Where is it your fathers? Where is it going to? 39 books? 39 books?
Yes, sir.
Okay. It says, "But those things which God before has shown by the mouth of his prophet that Christ should suffer, he has also fulfilled." Did you see that? Hallelujah. So he goes back. You see the way they are reading it? Hallelujah. If we get to 21, it says, "Whom the heaven must receive unto the time of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all these holy prophets since the world began." Since the world began, is it 39 books? Okay, it says, "But Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God." Where is he reading from? He's going back to the channel. Is it that? He's reading that together. And he's speaking about Jesus. Hallelujah. So you can't be detached. They were never detached. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. No, I'm only explaining the New Testament. The Old Testament is gone. No, you don't do that. You must be together. Read together. Hallelujah. So what I'm going to show you also in this in the epistles. Every time they read, at the background of what they were, and every time you read the epistles, the same way they write, those who were the first audience of the epistles read it, you must always see the 39 books under it. We'll see a few this evening. Hallelujah. You always see the 39 books under it. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
So, how we read scriptures is vital. It's very vital. How we read scriptures is vital. Because it will come out in our worship of God. So I asked the question, so why should we read the Bible with all astuteness, with all soundness?
Well, and like I said earlier, it will come out.
How you read, studied your Bible will come out in your worship of God. Hallelujah. Because the whole of the Christian life, the whole of the Christian life is as regards our worship of God. Is in our worship of God. And knowledge is very vital in your worship of God. Knowledge is very vital in your worship of God. Very important. Therefore, a right study, therefore a right study will lead to right worship. A proper study of scriptures will lead to proper worship. What about the wrong study? Will lead to wrong worship.
Amen.
Will lead to wrong worship. Wrong worship. Hallelujah. And that is why scripture itself places premium on you being taught. I'm going to pause here to say this. On you being taught. You see, no man, I'm going to repeat it again, no man can say he read the Bible and understood no God on his own. You are not taught to know God on your own. Amen. You are taught to read. You are, or no sound, nobody who say he reads the Bible is a new in this will tell me that he knew God on his own. No, no. Even you ought to be taught to read. Amen. I'm telling you the truth. So you can't take away that place of teaching, especially in the local church. You can't take that away. Teaching. You have to be taught. And then it will aid your study. Hope you're hearing me. There's that place of you being taught. There's just that place. See, many times people who think that they want to know God on their own end up in error. I can count numerous numbers of them that I know. End up in error. Try to just do it on your own. And it brings about a question of competition. You want to compete to know more than this person. So you go in, I want to know what the person knows is wrong. Hallelujah. You know what I told you that? There's something about competing in the secular world that is right. But don't bring it to the church. Hallelujah. In your knowledge of God, don't do it. Hallelujah. Don't do it. You are being taught God's word. Hallelujah. Endeavor you don't get into competition. Endeavor you don't get into competition. And you must pride in you being taught properly. Being taught properly has got nothing to do with glamour or state or whatever had it. No. Make sure you take pride in being taught properly.
Amen.
And what I want you to do in church, even in your PC, you are painstakingly taught God's word. Taught God's word. Very well. Hallelujah. Take pride in it. I say it all. Take pride in it. Hallelujah. Take pride in it. That's what God's word. So to come out in your worship. To come out in your worship. On your worship. You know, when people say, the church is not at home, I want to worship God at home. Church is not a building, church is me. Is that the result of what they've learned? Did you see that? So it's coming out in their worship of God. Hope you are saying it. So while I'm bringing believers who adore the worship and the fellowship of brethren together, then we now have believers who are now selfish-minded in their worship of God. Did you see that? And that's not what God wants. I said it to someone, I said, do you know that every instruction given in scripture was given to a group of people? Listen, watch it very well. It was given to a group of people. Really not to a particular person, maybe except for the one given to just a few, to Timothy, to the pastors. Did you get that? But every other instruction you find in scriptures is given to a group, a people. Do you get that? Because God didn't raise a person. God is raising a people, a family. Do you see that? A people. So you find the instructions in the epistles. That is from the Genesis. Do you see that? From the Genesis. He gives instructions to man. In his image, that is a family. This is that in God's family, there is the instruction in Genesis 1:28 to subdue. Do you see that? Amen. It's a family mission. Hope you are following me. If you get to the epistles, every instruction we see, even when it says pray without ceasing, is actually for a collective instruction. Hope you are following me. Pray without ceasing. He's talking to a church in Thessalonica and he's telling them to pray without ceasing. Okay, I'm going to read. Pray without ceasing. That is to say, you pray always. That means when they are. So the church will have to pray without ceasing. Individually, so you pray without ceasing. Did you see that? Amen. So if the church pray without ceasing, will you be found there? Yes. Rejoice forevermore is an instruction to the church. Because they were in the face of persecution. He tells them rejoice forevermore. Hope you're following that. So you have that as, you have those instructions collectively. So never think, see, your worship of God, never think it's selfish. No. No. Hallelujah. It's not personal to you alone. It's first, our worship of God is collective, then personal. Amen. But first collective. Collective. Hope you're following me. Amen. And that was why. We are going to see something shortly. That was why in their worship of God, they had to go to the temple. Not to worship alone, to worship together in the synagogue. How are you following that? Together. Glory to God. Glory to God. So you always come out in your worship of God. And that was why I've shown us this in Exodus 3 to us. Moses said, when this will be a token, Exodus 3 to us, please. Exodus 3 to us. And he said, certainly, I will be with thee, and it shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve me upon this mountain. This is that so worship of God. Then you will worship me upon this mountain. When they got out, what did Moses do? He gave them the word. Why? That their worship of God will be effective. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me give you the hazard of wrong worship. The hazard of wrong worship. Or I mean of wrong study of scripture. The hazard of wrong study of scripture. Look at John. John 16. Jesus was speaking to his disciples. I'll read from verse 1 into 4. Okay, from verse 1 into 3. Oh, 1 into 5. Better. John 16. Let's get to John 16. Amen. John 16. From verses 1. It says, "Say these things I have spoken unto you, that thou should not be offended." You see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says, "Say they will put you out of the synagogue." Watch this. "Yea, the time cometh, that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service." Hope you're following me. Whosoever killeth you will think he's doing service to God. And these things, listen, and these things they will do. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father, nor me. You listen to that? He said, "But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come,
You shall remember that I told you of them, and these things I've said unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did you see that? Glory to God. Say they will put you out of the synagogue. That is to say, they will shut you out of the synagogue.
Did you see that? They will shut you out of the synagogue.
And they will kill you. And what would they say they are doing? What would they say they are doing? They say they are doing God's service.
They say, how can that be the Christian?
But that is it.
Well, not only Christian, but they say they are doing God, the living God's service. Didn't they do it to Jesus? They did it to Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hope you're following me. He did it to Jesus.
And we say they are doing God's service.
How about that? Jesus came and they killed him.
They killed him and they think they are doing service to Jesus.
Jesus said they will do it also to you. I mean, they are doing service to God.
Did you see that? So where did you think they were reading from? To want to kill you and say they are doing service to God. The same 39 books that you are reading from. Can you see that? The same 39 books that you are reading. He said they will kill you and say it's service that you do. So that means anybody can pick up the Bible. From the same Bible, they will tell you that killing people is service to God. I've seen someone, I've heard of this before. That they carry some people and say they are witches. And that the Bible says, suffer not the witch to live but to die. And they carry koboko. And they were flogging those people. You see, that's what the Bible says.
The same Bible you are reading and I'm reading of.
Did you see that?
It's the same Bible, though.
The same Bible. Amen. 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 I've heard some of them say that the reason why, especially on tongues, the reason why they don't speak in tongues again is because tongues cannot be found in the New Testament books. Do you see that? So there's no way to we believe it together. And every major truth will be found from the Old Testament years back. So then, since we can't find it there, so it's not a major truth. So throw it away.
How? How would you say that? I'm gonna show you. There's scriptures.
Hallelujah.
Well, you didn't read it well. What am I following? You didn't read it well. You didn't read it well.
So that's why we started the teaching talks yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. They will say the same Bible to you. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody will read, buy the same Bible to you and tell you the Bible says we should do holy communion. The same Bible you are reading. And tell you that the day for worship of God is on Saturday. It's the same Bible, though. The same Bible. That means you must pride in proper interpretation. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
They told Jesus, you don't have any fault in what you are saying. But because you say you are God, you being a man, you are God. Ah, blasphemy. And they had to kill him to do service to God. How about that? You are killing somebody to serve God. What kind of God are you serving? What does he need your... Amen.
Yeah,
what
kind of God are you
talking about? We're going to see where all those things came from. Hallelujah. We're going to see where they came from. Hallelujah. Many times, what people read into scriptures is actually sometimes their culture. Maybe sometimes their world. They read into scriptures. And that causes a lot of hazards. A lot of misconceptions. That is not in line with what God is saying.
Sorry, sir, but let me just
okay.
Amen. So it causes a lot of misconceptions.
Hallelujah.
A whole lot of misconceptions. So you just have to read well. Read well.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hope you understand what I'm saying, what I'm showing.
Amen.
In fact, in John 4, before John 16, John 4, Jesus met this woman at the well. And in verses 20, look at what the woman said to Jesus. John 4, 20. Hallelujah. In verse 19, after Jesus was done talking to her, he said, I perceive you are a prophet. Verse 20, said, our father worshipped in this mountain. And ye say that Jerusalem is the place of where men ought to worship. This is that. Now there are two contrary. Now this is as regards worship. There are fathers worship in the mountain. This is Samaritan. You see that? The Samaritan read Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the five books of Moses. And the Jews read up onto Malachi. Did you see that? So our father worship in the mountain. Right? Now what those two
our father worship in the mountain, they were reading the same book. Just the difference is one ended at Deuteronomy, ended in Malachi, right? So they had two different opinions, the Jews and the Samaritan on the mountain. So no, it's no mountain, it is in Jerusalem.
Amen. Amen. Something we will see, this will come alive during GPLR. I'm going to have
to talk about CCB. Amen. Where did the temple come from? Where did the mountain come from? And where did Jerusalem come from?
Hallelujah.
Amen. But you discover that they misread Moses and the prophet. You know why? Because why they mentioned Jerusalem, the Jews mentioned Jerusalem, was because Jerusalem came in after Moses. Did you see that? Amen. Jerusalem came in after Moses. So what did Moses have in Genesis and Deuteronomy? They had the mountain. Did you see that? The mountain. Amen. So they say it's Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is actually place of peace. Did you see that? So it's Jerusalem. No, they know it's mountain. Jesus now responded. Look at what Jesus said. And it's because of improper study of scripture. Those were used as symbols. By the writers of the Old Testament books, they were symbols. You see that? But they picked these symbols as literal. Hope you're following me. They picked it literally. And said, this is where they say we should worship. And Jesus now said, look at verses 25. Sorry, verses 21. He said, woman, believe me, the hour cometh and now is, when ye shall neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship the Father. You see that? Amen. He now says, ye worship, ye know not what. Did you see that? So we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. I was talking about worship then.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And those are symbols.
Okay.
So that means when they wanted to worship, they had to all go down to the synagogue. I mean, they all have to go down to Jerusalem. They all have to go down to mountain. And this is not a replacement of the fact that the gathering is. Jesus wasn't saying the gathering is wrong. Hallelujah. No, that's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus isn't saying, now worship, I worship the Father in spirit and in truth.
What spirit and truth that you know? What is spirit and truth that you know? Spirit and truth in my heart. Alone.
Come on now. Give yourself a brain. Even if you didn't go to school complete, pretend as though you went and understand it.
Amen.
Just pretend as though you went to school and understand what it meant.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. The same thing too with the Genesis, with the John 2 account, where he came and then he turned around the table. Amen. He said, make not my father's house a house of merchandise,
is that buying and selling.
Now when you use the word make not my house, that he used two words there. If you read other accounts, because of time I'm not going there, but subsequent that, go ahead, I'm going to show you that. I'm just doing an intro there. Now if you read other accounts, he said my father's house shall be a house of prayer for all nations, reading Isaiah. We've seen that, right?
Now mark that word, all nations there. Mark that word, all nations there. And mark another word, house of prayer. Now mark that word, all nations, in Matthew's account. And then you go to John. And John say, make it not a house of merchandise. Watch that. He's not saying that they were playing gambling. He said, don't make it a house of merchandise. Hallelujah. Buying and selling. Hallelujah. So when you use the word for all nations there, he's telling you that the house of God, right? The house of God, when you use the word all nations there, it will mean it will not be with barriers, with restrictions. The Jews also to Gentiles. So nations there is used for both Jews and Gentiles. Hallelujah. So Jesus is saying, Gentiles and Jews are welcomed into my house. Hallelujah. Are welcomed into my house. So he didn't say that they were going there to change money. No. They were going there. Right? They were going there. But only the Jews could enter the temple. Look at Paul. Why were they mad at Paul in Acts? They said he brought Gentiles. Paul was acting based on Jesus' word. He said he brought Gentiles into the temple, and because the Gentiles came to the temple, they have defiled the temple. This is a tragedy. He went from Acts 15 into 21. Hallelujah. That's what I accused him of. That he has desecrated the temple. He brought in Gentiles and taught them to disobey Moses. They were reading upside down. They were giving a wrong interpretation to what Paul was saying. Hope you're following me. You're not asking as you're following. Hope you're with me. Amen. They're giving a wrong interpretation to what Paul was saying. Paul was just saying, doing the same thing, saying the same thing that Jesus has done. Hallelujah. Hope you're following what Jesus has done in John chapter 2. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus has done. Paul will not explain that in John, in Ephesians 2, say he has removed the wall of partition. The wall of partition. And when you talk about the wall of partition, where will you find it? In the temple. Now, in the temple, there is a place the Gentiles do walk to, and they can't go beyond there. They can't enter the temple. So, they had a spot for the Gentiles. So, when you hear wall of partition, you hear wall and you hear partition, you are thinking it's bad wire. No. Wall of partition means you can't pass. Yeah, once you are not a Gentile, once you are not a Jew. Amen. So that point, so they put tables and everything, and now this is the temple where the Jews go into. This is that wall of partition. They can't even come close. So what Jesus did was to come here, and then he turned away the money changers. And said, make my father's house a house of prayer for all nations. What are all nations? All nations together will be found in there. You see that? That's all nations together will be found inside the temple. You see that? So Jesus is saying there should be no wall of partition. That's what Jesus is saying. There should be no wall of partition. Make it a house of prayer for all nations. Everybody's prayer will be worshipped, will be found in the temple for worship. Hope you're following that. And it's very vital you have to see it that way. Amen. Amen. Make the house of prayer. So when Paul too showed up, he had to say, Paul, now, understood that in that scripture, will not take Gentiles into it. No, he has disobeyed the temple. Did you see that? Amen. So where did they get that mode of worship from? That the Gentiles can come into the temple. That's the 9 books. Is Paul misinterpreting the 39 books? No. Well, Jesus misinterpreted the 39 books? No. That was given to them in the 39 books as shadows to make them see that what will be found in the temple will be what? Sanctified. Those that were coming with advice. So the Gentiles were treated as what? Come on, who? Tell me what the Gentiles were treated as. Eh? No. Sin. So, what will not be found in the temple will be sin. You have to be ready. All of the temple will be seen. Who will be welcome in the temple? Those who are what? Sanctified. Did you see that? Yet, the same person that did that now said to them, the word is nighting in your heart and in your mind and yet that ye be clean. What do you think he was talking about? He's letting them see that everything I've said to you is not in the doing but in your faith. Did you see that? In your word, faith, believe. Amen. Who be following me here?
Amen. So you just have to see it the same way.
But Gabriel, no, that is wrongly interpreting Moses. But Moses is saying no, you are wrongly interpreting it. But what I'm telling you is the carpet is there in scriptures. The word is in your mouth and in your heart. That's the challenge. Okay, I tell you. So that is why you have to read very well. Every Bible student, serious Bible student, like I said, so you must be serious with how you read your Bible. Amen. The Holy Scriptures.
I heard when the time that Apostle Shadow told us that he met some group of Jewish rabbis. They wanted Shadow to explain some things on them. I said, okay, according to Paul, he said, no, don't mention Paul yet. Because they believe Paul bastardized the Bible. They don't mention Paul yet, Jewish rabbi. But who wants him from the 39 books? But Shadow, we can't explain 39 books. And he said, when he was doing that, I heard it from him, one of his messages, but recently, he further explained that to Ross Pastors.
He said, when he was explaining that to them,
you know what he was saying? And the background of what he was saying was Paul.
So he just started explaining Paul, without making them know it's Paul. Amen. Look at what I just showed you now. I won't mention Paul if I was talking to someone, but you know it's Paul. Hallelujah. I have Paul in my mind. Why did Paul do this? This is what they said. Okay. They said what was to Gentiles or saying, okay, what were they supposed to do? So that means you will not be found in here, right? So what did he say was all this he's talking about is all about? He gave them everything and then he told them your reward is 90. Did you see that?
So it's not about those things he gave you, but about what?
That's what Paul just did.
Amen. You argue with Paul, what about Jesus?
That's what Jesus did also. Hallelujah. He got to the same temple when the prophet told them of the same thing. Drew that line of partition. He got there and he turned away the money changers. In that same temple.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So when you read the word of partition was taken away, it is not in the resurrection that the
what did they call it? You don't remember that cutting that when you had the holy, the holy was torn open.
Well, that's you know. Because actually, when Paul read that, he was reading John 2. But you know, John 2 was in oral tradition. Right? Hallelujah. Amen. And what did he say? He brought out that partition so that we can relate now. Hallelujah. No, neither is so. Also, reading Gentiles, I mean, as a Gentile, Galatia, he said there's neither Jew nor Greek. He said, neither Jew nor Greek. What do you think he's reading for? Resurrection. No, he was explaining John 2. What can I say that? That is that same John 2 that is now being explained, neither Jew or Greek. What is saying? That is to say, there is no longer a partition. What are you following me? He's not saying there's no difference between the believer and the unbeliever. There is one. But he's telling you the partition between the Greek and the Jews is about believers. You see that? Amen. There's no longer Greek believers and Jews. We are no, we are one. That's what he's saying.
That's what Jesus is saying for us. Or for us.
Because the Gentiles who were supposed to stop at that temple where Gentiles who became Jews.
Okay, I'm not supposed to explain that to you.
That's what he's saying. Amen. So, when a Gentile wants to become a Gentile, can be a Jew.
Hope you know that in scripture.
Hope you know that.
Okay.
Don't worry, nothing for today. Thank you. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So, as Mother has spoken about Paul in Acts,
I was supposed to read Acts 5, but
let's look beyond Acts 5. I mean, Acts 15. Look at Colossians 2. Colossians 2. I mean, we're just looking at worship. Okay, let's get to that Acts 15. Acts 15. They accused Paul, right, of telling them not to keep to Moses. And look at what those people said. Look at what the sect of the Pharisees said. Look at Acts of Apostles chapter 15. Who are non-believers? I'll read from verses 3 for you to see. Acts 15. Wow, my time is up. Past 15. No, I was saying I might not take off the time. I just did one by 8. Okay, Act 15. S3. Okay, sorry. From verse 5. But there was also some of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it is needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Where do you think they are reading from? The same that the nine books, right? But they were wrongly interpreted. And that is why they had the wrong worship. Did you see that? So it's important as a believer sees the importance, it's vital that a believer sees the importance of right study of scriptures. Look at Colossians 2, I have to open. Colossians 2:17. I have to be fast a bit now. Let's just round this up today. It's not on Sunday. We'll continue on Sunday, so next week. We'll just have this day. It's quite a lengthy. But it's good to learn, right? Okay. Colossians 2. Let's look at 16. Colossians 2:16. It says, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath day, which are a shadow. Mark that it will come alive in an instant on Sunday, which are a shadow of things to come, but the bodies of Christ. Is that, let no man beguile you of your reward in voluntary humility and worshipping of angels, intruding into those things which are not seen, vainly puffed up by the fleshly man. Did you see that? So let no man beguile you. Is that, let no man beguile you. So let no man spoil you. I mean, let no man judge you as regards eating or drinking or respect of holy days and stuff like that. And Paul calls them shadows. You see that? Shadows. What do you think when they judge them as regards holy days and meat and drink? What do you think they're reading from?
Moses. Leviticus 11. Then that meat shouldn't eat.
We'll give you that response in no way.
Yeah, meat shouldn't eat. So I gave some of your pastors there years back. I won't do that again today. Yeah, that was around 2015. I gave them fish meat.
No, it's fish meat.
Very unique kind of meat. It's a meat that tastes like fish. I didn't tell them what it was, and they ate it. Only a Judas Iscariot had not eaten it. Judas, this is the name. Judas Iscariot had not eaten it. So, when they were eating it, I also told them what kind of meat it was. The all wanted to vomit. When he came with the rest of the time, I was sick, they were telling me that I was sick. The bone was fresh. I don't know, it's called a nation thing, it's called Python.
Ah! He can't swallow, he can't really. If I told them, what your face is good,
you know, they would, no, but nothing will happen to me.
What? Python! Me too!
When they told me, when they told me, I was going to eat, I was going to do it. Hallelujah. They still have that somewhere in their mind. They still have that demonic mindset. Like every one time I had someone was complaining to my mom, my father is wicked. Not my own father, their father.
Right.
And their father is wicked. You know that their father gave them vulture. And made them also and they
fuck what?
When I was reading about vulture recently, that the meat is very sweet. There are some countries when they see cockroach that you kill with the pesticide, it is meat to them. You don't know. You say, ah!
When you see that, you don't know. The light cockroach.
The cockroach is okay. When you dress this side, you waste your money and dress this side. So then you don't gather it.
Cook is ready to make it.
Yeah, you say, oh, God!
However, with millipede, the millipede that you match and do, I just put it in. And it's sweet. Yeah, they, don't you eat the sample. The other one gave me food and put the sample inside. Pastor Joy selected all these sound ones, I got, he knows me. How do I eat the sample? What's that?
Come on. Go for
this. Can you see? The same way you're telling, ah, fire, listen, sir.
Come on, it's fine, sir. Amen. So that's what it is.
It is what it is. But the reason like that is, see, some people will think, they'll say, ah, they sin against God. Did you see that? I met someone one time, he said, I usually don't go to market on Sunday. It's not because of rest though. He said, I don't go to market on Sunday, it's because the holy day to the Lord. Do you see that? Do you see that? He said, it's Sabbath day, as I don't go to market on Sunday. Do you see that? Amen. Some people open in their shop on Sunday, they say, are you a non-believer? I'm not a Christian. If you are sick on Sunday, won't you go to the pharmacy? Imagine all the pharmacies too were closed. How will you buy drugs? Amen. Can you see yourself? Judge yourself. Amen. But there you go. So you see how people's knowledge affect their worship. Some people see today when they see cats, they dish up on people's fire. See today. Even with the word of God that you know. When you heard that one, you know, fast purpose. You just calm down. We will just catch. You know, cats can stare at you very well at night. Looking at you, the whole blood of Jesus. Jesus. Maybe at that point, an answer for wisdom coming. And they're like, oh, man, what are you? I'm just praying something.
Cats you are running away from.
Cats just staring at you, say, holy. So, last week, when I was telling me that they buy me cats for birthday. I said, eh? This is how, no way. I like cats. I said, ah! How did you know cats? It's only cats. Cats. Even with your father, but all the word of God. Yeah, I'm like cats, man. I won't kill you. Amen. Glory to God. But I'm just saying, somehow it's just there somewhere. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
But you can see that it's very vital.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. So, you discover that
you must always place premium on proper Bible interpretation. Because even the people that distort the scriptures will also quote the scriptures to distort it. Do you get it? And I imagine you that are supposed to know God's word, don't now know God's word. What happened to you? So a believer who knows properly taught God's word can be easily swayed. You just concussion. That's why some people will easily, believers, easily just fall for sweet words. Praise is when we host God. Word. Where is it going to be?
Listen to that.
Where is it?
Where are you listening to? Okay, follow me. Your thinking can should be on also. Praise is when we host God. Host God. How? How?
Tell them.
When you praise God, you create a capacity for the power of God to inhabit and indwell.
Hallelujah.
See, that guy has word. So the one day my brother took me to somewhere. My brother, who was in the university, said, I come and hear this man of God, he has word. I asked him, why would you give me? How did he do it?
this is the word.
We have word back.
I just had one thing.
When the horizontal impetus of God's word begins to gravitate inward into the diameter of the things of the potter, you know that I have word.
No word at all.
Amen.
Bro, so, you must have, so a believer who is not properly taught God's word can easily be swayed. Swayed at every point. Do you get it? So you must pride in knowing God's word. I said very well. A church like ours that teaches God's word, make sure you listen to God's word over and again. Take your time. Ask questions.
Amen.
You can ask questions. Where are we? Amen. Don't walk up to anywhere, but walk up to me too.
Ask me questions. Sir, you said something like this concerning this and this. Sir, what about this? I will be willing to answer you. Amen.
That's on your pastor.
You're the God.
That's when you get to ask questions to your pastor. And there are things that you need to ask.
That really needs clarity. Okay, okay, you're ready.
Okay.
I will. So, I'll round up with this. I'll take it up from here on Sunday. Amen. So, in studying the Old and New Testament together, remember, we said we employ a technique in our study. And that technique in our study as a church is that we have to sit in the seat of the first audience. Right? Now you sit in the seat of the false audience. And in doing so, we said you must see from their world. And something you must see, as we will discuss on Sunday, is the fact that you can't take away their culture from how they rule. You can't take away their culture from how they rule. The same way you can't take away, I mean, in writing, knowing how they rule in their world, also write with geography. That's their word. You have to understand how do they write. Culture was part of how they wrote. So you have to understand their culture of writing, which will include the also writes with what? Geography. Geography was very vital in how they wrote theology.
Amen. That's why we have say
that might not be necessary today, right? But their world, I mean, that might not be as important as it is in their world today, because of the way we now write, you get it, but in their world and in their time. Oh, we are following me now. Geography plays a vital role. Culture, they have culture.
Amen.
Amen. And everything together will be used as shadows. We're going to see all this from Sunday. Hallelujah. We use as shadows. So talk about the reason. Paul said it was shadows. Hallelujah. So important. And then, we'll use our shadows in Exodus and Numbers. Exodus, Numbers, and Leviticus. But the essence of it you find in the other prophets, also to you, also find it too in the Genesis, and then in the Egyptians and the others. We are following it. But you find the shadows. We'll talk about the shadows of those things. And when was, how was it before it was given to them as shadows? We saw one during convention who said Sabbath day, right? We saw Sabbath day, right? It was a shadow. It was given to them as a day, particular day in the week. But yet, what was it about? Was it about a particular day to worship God? No, in the Genesis they had no particular day, right? But they worship God. Did you see that? They had a worship of God. Amen? But it was a culture that came out from Egypt to them. So they had it incorporated into their, I mean, into how Moses will now teach them concerning God's day. Did you see that? And God's day has been from the Genesis. Did you see that? Amen. Amen. From the Genesis. And then you find it also in the epistles, I mean, in the synoptic and in the epistles. Not to be a particular day, but God's day. When the heaven and earth will be complete, when man will be found in Christ. Hallelujah. Hope you are following that. Right? Hope you are following that. So these are many more you see. And then also find tongues. How was tongues spoken about? Do you know that?
to the Old Testament books. What was Jesus' commentary on tongues?
Amen.
In our world today.
Glory to God.
Amen. Is tongues something that is a feast?
Or is tongues God? We're going to look at all that from scriptures.
Hallelujah.
And I trust the Lord. At the end of this series of teachings, you would find clarity.
Hallelujah.
You find clarity, and then you appreciate the study of God's word, and it will be found in your worship of God.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. You will never look down on God. I'm sure of that after this teaching.
Glory to God.
Let's start things, amen. Are you sure?